Any, sorry, I didn't give, John's not back yet, or give him a chance to ask questions now. So
44 is quite something, isn't it? I mean, every week, that's a year, more or less.
Yeah.
That's quite...
A few half terms.
Yeah, that's impressive, isn't it? I mean, once it's, I like that.
I mean, yeah, but it's something to really get your head around. Like, and it's something we as a ministry are struggling with how to communicate, because we want people to go into it with eyes wide open. But at the same time, it's more intimidating, or it sounds more intimidating than it actually is.
Yeah.
Because you're not, sometimes you don't end up doing all of that. And sometimes after seven sessions, they do want to go on the Christianity Explored course, or, do you know what I mean? It's just, you're getting them on the train tracks. I mean, you know, the Lord will lead you.
You've got to trust John a bit, haven't you? And just think, you know, the bloke wasn't an idiot. He knew people were going to read his gospel. And it is, in one sense, if it's not gripped you in the first few chapters, you're not going to read on.
Yeah.
And so my observation on John is, and I've preached through John in a number of ways, but I once did it for a whole year. And at points it did feel like wading through treacle because of the dialogue is so intense. You know,
yeah,
you,
chapter 7, 8. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not, Mark, you know, he's rapid, you know, it's 15 chapters, it's moving. You know, you've still got to get in chapter 31 in John. You know, it's less than half. So it's, yeah.
And you're hitting a lot of the same things again and again and again.
Yes.
It makes it quite a tricky sermon series because, like, you could kind of be doing how to believe and come to Jesus to have life.
Yeah.
Every time into... But in some ways, that makes it a great one for this time.
Exactly.
Like, however much you do, you're going to be hitting.
You're building. You're building on those things as you go, and you're coming back to them. I think it is. It is very, very helpful. You know, but as you say, like, you know, they're gonna pull out. You know, they're gonna pull out by chapter 4 at least if they're not interested.
Right? Yeah.
But often, like, that's not what I found. Like, I've literally found, for me personally, and I've heard Carl, for example, say this as well, I've heard others say this, is people are captivated enough to read, 90% of people. Like, there was a couple of guys at work that I sort of probably strong-armed into reading the first session. I was like, no, you must read this. And they were never going to read on. But most people who showed genuine interest would then go on. And the point at which they stop is not because they've become disinterested, it's because they've become convicted and they turn away from the light. That is the reality of what happens. And that's tragic. But in some ways it almost reinforces what John himself says would happen, and it builds my confidence, because I can honestly see that this guy isn't turning away because it's unclear or not captivating. He's turning away because he doesn't want to change his life. So, yeah.
And it's helped to know, like, for equipping people, it's helped for them to know you're not going to run out of, you know, you're not going to suddenly then be left by yourself to do it. I mean, obviously, if you do all 42, you are, but...
Well, we're writing acts as well.
You know, it's almost...
Well, I think that's the draw of it, and what Bruce was saying, and I found this, and I'm sure you guys have found it if you've used the course, is this: you do 6 weeks, people wake up to the reality of the Bible and how captivating Jesus is.
Yeah,
they're not ready to come to church, they're not ready to come to Christ, and then you're like, shall we start a new little group, or shall we like seek his Bible study, or what shall we do? And the reality is, yes, it is a lot, but it resources your ministry. It's not like you've signed up to do all 42 episodes. It's just like, okay, here's my ammunition, and now I'm just going to go out and offer, and let's see what the Lord does. That's sort of, I think that's the way to help people see it. We're developing an app, and I think that's going to help. Because that feels less intimidating than saying 11 books. You could just go, well, you know, there's the episodes, and you just go as far as you like, as far as you get. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You may come onto this, but can I ask what you've seen done well, or what you've done well to help create confidence in people to have a crack?
Yeah.
Because in one sense, look, if the guys in this room are not capable of getting this up and running with a non-Christian, we shouldn't be in ministry. But we're trying to lead people because we want this to take hold.
Yeah, that's the aim, and that's really what we're resourcing into. So that's what I was going on to. I think so. There's a really helpful article by my colleague John on our website, 7 Principles for Leading a Culture or Developing a Culture of Sharing God's Word. I've written an article on a playbook for keeping it visible. So there's just practical things you can do in terms of keeping it visible. But then there's spiritual principles. And I think, you know, some of the things I just... So his 7 principles are pray, model, declutter, cultivate, equip, inspire, sustain. I won't cover all of it. But I think, firstly, it's vital to model it. And that links to the second point, which is declutter. The thing we find most with ministers, and I mean, I'm an elder, I'm a lay elder. I don't know if people think that's an easier gig. I find that really difficult because I got my day job and then, you know, everything else goes into evenings and, you know, lunch breaks and mornings and whatever. I know how difficult it is to, you know, to keep the main thing the main thing. But as a church eldership, we are determined to declutter. Because there's so much stuff you could do, which you, if you're not strong, you end up doing. And what you do is you then not only suck in your own time, but all your gifted people get sucked into the subculture of church. And what we're trying to do is to give each other space to cultivate non-Christian relationships and to give our gifted evangelist space to cultivate non-Christian relationships in the places where God has placed them. They don't have to go with loads of new things. If you're in the workplace, that's your mission field. If you're retired, that's your mission field. And not trying to suck them in too much. And then I think it becomes so those are the spiritual principles. Keep the main thing, and that sometimes means killing a few things off. And giving yourself as a leadership space to be with non-Christians and to work with non-Christians, giving your gifted people space to do that. And then it just becomes a case of encouraging, equipping, and resourcing, enabling. So the encouraging is just sharing the stories. Literally, you know, drip feeding, little and often. I was reading with this guy, this is what he saw about it. That's exciting. Like if my non-Christian friends see something about Jesus for the first time, that is incredibly inspiring to me. Find a way of sharing that with a congregation, either, you know, as you open the service or maybe in your sermon somewhere or whatever, just dripping those stories little and often. But it shouldn't just come from you, because otherwise it's the minister's thing. Like, find ways of giving other people profile to share some of their stories, maybe on social media, maybe within their own little fellowship groups or home groups, maybe every now and again just getting them up front and having an interview that says, listen, you've been reading with this guy for 6 months, that sounds like a massive commitment. No, it's the best thing in my week. It's spiritually refreshing. It's like, you know, and just get them to tell those stories. And then every now and again, just doing what I've done here, just demoing and showing how it works. The reality of this is what it takes to see that the Lord is faithful and good. Like, you've got to give it a go. And as soon as you don't want to end up over training. Like, and Richard was like, me and Richard clashed a bit with that because I came from a St. Helens background. And it's like, you know, we need to teach them all of John's gospel, and we need to have an understanding of how it's structured and the purpose and. And that's all fine, and you should do that as you minister week in and week out. But really, what you should just be saying is, here's a resource that's really easy to use. If you ask 5 people, one of them is going to say yes. That's the average. So people got to be willing to take a few no's. As long as they understand that's normal, that helps. And that is never, that's the end of the relationship. It just means, no, I'm not ready now. But they've got to, you've got to just mobilize. You've just got to say, listen, guys, this is, you know the gospel. You've got this resource. You've just got to give it a go. And as soon as they do, like 90% of the time, they come back and are like, that was amazing. Like, or it was slightly, and they want to keep reading. I don't know why. I was just sitting there. I read with them, like, I was doing all the speaking. And then I said, would you like to do it again? They said, yes. And then 4 or 5 sessions in, they're still just reading to them, but they're enjoying it. You know what I mean? Like, I think we make people's decisions for them. And I think it's just about saying to the Christians, you just got to get out there. But being realistic that not everyone's going to do it. And then I think as people one by one start picking it up, it's just about capturing stories, playing out the stories. So sharing the stories and just every now and again mobilizing demo often. I mean, we do training events. We've got videos, like a 3-session training series, which you could do as an initial sort of, this is what it's all about. This is why you should do it. And you should get a group of people going through that. But really, that culture change comes as you model it, as you declutter enough to be able to cultivate the relationships among Christians. And as you get more and more people doing that, 1, 2, 3, 5, 10. And I think those are sort of the principles of church life. I acknowledge that. But we've seen some encouragements. I've seen some surprising folk pick it up and go. You know, I've got retired folk using it. I've got people from an addiction background using it. I've got a city-based lady who works in a very hostile media agency, you know, like LGBT to the hilt, but she's sort of giving it a go. So you do get these encouragements as you just sort of, you know, gently.
Breadth, depth scenarios where we want breadth. We want as many of our launch team to be able to do this and excited by doing this. And so we go for that. But actually, often it's a depth thing. In other words, it's the one person you do it with who comes to me, is Jesus my saviour? Not only is the Bible the access I have to his word, but there's nothing that sees conversions quite like the word one-to-one, so let's do that. So that kind of, your best evangelists for this are going to be those who've been affected by it.
Yeah, it is a long game, yeah.
But that can be significant.
But I think that, yeah, exactly. Over time, what it cultivates is a confidence in God's word, which is beneficial for, you know, it's a discipleship thing. Like, you know, it's a conviction thing. Like that'll come back into the church. That'll benefit the small group they're in. It'll benefit your prayer meetings, because what are they praying about? They're not praying about sort of their family illness. They're praying about the two people they're eating with and desperately convicted of sin. So it just raises the game in terms of discipleship. Just 2 or 3 people really going for it, I think makes a difference. And then you just drip through over time. Any other questions? I think that's all really I've got in terms of what I plan to say. I can share a little bit about how to get started yourself, but I guess you guys...
Cost twice?
£1.80 per copy or something. And then if you buy bulk, it goes down to sort of £1 or something. So lots of churches, we've now got a display box, which is about 50 quid, and it's got about 30 or so book ones in it. And you put it at church and it just says, Meet Jesus in the Bible. And it's just attractive for the non-Christian visitor as well as the Christian, just keeping it visible. So that might be a starting point. Just sign up there as well.
I like the app idea.
Yeah. So we're just prototyping and testing that. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know the timelines, but it will be, God willing, this year or early next year for the first launch, I hope. Mm-hmm. Maybe early next year, given it's maybe summer.
Be interesting, that removes another barrier. Like in terms of being in a coffee shop, where it's like 2 people looking something on their phone together is like, you know, that is the way people have, like, oh, have you seen this thing? You know, and it removes a bit of that.
I think the books are nicer for me, but
personally, I would go for that.
But also reach, I think even in England, I mean, you know, it's not, you know, 10 of those were a discount publisher, like they do it as cheaply as they can possibly offer it. But it's, you know, it still costs money to serve worldwide, and we're seeing interest through the website and also through other ministry connections. But if you talk about, like, you know, Africa or whatever, like, it's just not realistic in terms of really seeing a big sort of take-up. Like, you know, you'll have to raise a lot of money to be able to facilitate that. Just give us further reach as well. Just make it freely available and ask people to pick up.
Who'd have thought that the mobile phone would be in the printing press?
Yeah, crazy.
Terrifying thought.
It is, yeah.